Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jay Binkley on the show. We go out to the hotline. We welcome in our guy, Jay Binkley, who must be feeling amazing about some college football that gets going tonight. What's up, man?
You know what? Well, yeah, what's up? Hey, I'm glad Kramer's coming in on the during the fan club. I just got yesterday, I got one of those magnets. He sent a magnet that said, save the date. He's got a date planned up for his wedding, man.
Wow. Wow.
I was blown away. I was like, whoa.
All right, thank you for that. Now I can ask him about it. I did not know that. There you go. I know he's been engaged for a bit, but that's exciting news. So we'll definitely discuss that with Kramer. But everybody wanted this college football playoff expanded bank, and everybody was excited about these campus sites.
It's ridiculous.
We get it tonight, and then we get three games tomorrow. Overall, though, do you like how it's shaping up? I guess I'll ask you, because we're seeing reports that ticket sales and attendance might not be what people thought it's going to be. What do you make of how this is all going to play out this weekend?
Well, there's a few reasons for that. Obviously, people can't go to every single week. Like, if your team's good, and you know a lot of people are holding out, you know, for the quarterfinals, and we'll see what the bowl game situation is the next round. A lot of people are home for the holidays. They're not staying around there. I am disappointed. I figured that the ticket prices would be a lot higher at these games. But when you have a bunch of people trying to budget themselves, I mean, we know how, you know, tight things can get. You got this game, then you got the next game where you got to fly and go to the Sugar Bowl, and then have the championship game. You got to be traveling a lot, so there's a lot to put into it. But when you see these matchups, like, I'm fired up for Notre Dame and Indiana. I mean, I am like through the roof. I mean, they're playing in the college football in the north. It never, you know, snows usually during college football season, a little bit, but you got snow on the ground in South Bend tonight. But you look at these matchups, you're saying, man, they could have been doing this for years, and they should have been doing this for years. This is going to be an absolutely gold mine as far as ratings are concerned.
Is this the game, though? You said that, is it because of the first one you're most excited for, or is it that Ohio State-Tennessee one tomorrow night? Because that's the game that I think everybody is actually most intrigued by. Tonight's fun because it's the first one, and maybe Indiana covers and keeps it close.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because it kicks things off, you know. Tonight, I'm watching a couple of bowl games now. Florida's getting ready to play Tulane in just a little bit, and Jacksonville State on now. But tonight, it gives you something to look forward to. College game day is coming on at 2:30. Like college game day is going to do this, and they're going to go to Columbus, Ohio, and do college game day the next day. It's insane. And you have Penn State games starting an hour before the Chiefs. And, of course, the Chiefs are on, and then it goes right back. We got some college football playoffs. Again, it's Tennessee and Ohio State later that night. It's Clemson and Texas around 3 o'clock or so. But the division, if someone's an FCS fan, like North Dakota State or something like that, they're playing their semifinals tomorrow. If you're a D2 fan, like if you went to Pittsburgh State or Northwest Missouri or University of Central Missouri,
there it is.
They're playing their title game tomorrow. Uh-huh. Think about that. Think about the college football playoffs, the NFL, D1 playoffs, the D1AA quarter semifinals, and the D2 championship all in one day. That is insanity.
Oh, tomorrow's an epic day. No doubt. Tomorrow's an epic day. Let me ask you, though, as I look at all these matchups and we're all excited about the college football playoff and what that means, I can't help but step back and also be like, man, this was the year we all thought that at least one, if not two, of the three locals were getting in this dance, and we're sitting here and one of them's not in a bowl game. The other two are in bowl games that nobody really cares about.
Yeah, and you know what makes them look bad? Indiana. Indiana makes them look bad. Because they're looking at this thing, and, you know, because Indiana is not a traditional powerhouse. Correct me if I'm wrong, Drew, but doesn't Indiana have more losses than anybody in Division I?
Well, in terms of what? Like, you mean?
It's losses. Total losses. Program history.
I don't know that said, but I can tell you that they're in the running, for sure.
Yeah, but it's been a more abundant program, and when you're thinking about it, you're going, all right, Missouri just wins the Cotton Bowl. You know, Kansas State fell on expectations. They got to be really disappointed about their season. I know they're playing in a bowl game, but to be honest with you, they only finished one game better than Kansas in the Big 12 standings, which is crazy. That game that came down to the wire between Kansas and Kansas State, they just found one spot above them. But when you see Indiana, you know, in the playoffs, and when you see Boise State in the playoffs, and if you're Missouri and Kansas State, you got to be sitting there shaking your head, going, "Why not? Why not us? Why can't we get into it?" I think it's got to be frustrating for them.
We're talking to Jay Binkley here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, let's run through these kind of quickly. Indiana, Notre Dame tonight. The Hoosiers 6.5-point underdogs. They were 7 at one point in time. Do you give Indiana a chance to pull off a pretty big upset here against their in-state rival, or do we think we're just going to have a close game, but Notre Dame ultimately wins?
Yeah, Notre Dame's just playing too good of football. So ever since game one, the A&M game, I mean, they're just playing good ball. I mean, they just fundamentally sound on defense and offense. They're scoring at will. I like the quarterback play with Riley Leonard. But I like Indiana, and I've liked Indiana all year. I did watch them against Ohio State. Ohio State had their way with them. They really did. So can they kind of put that, you know, out of sight, out of mind? But I do like Notre Dame in this one.
The game,
I don't want to. I'm going for Indiana, but I think Notre Dame.
I'll get your ultimate semifinal national championship stuff in a second, because Drew and I are in lockstep on Notre Dame. We both think there's a chance they're in the national title game. But
yeah,
the game tomorrow morning, I on paper, it sure seems that SMU-Penn State's the one like nobody's really all that excited about. It's like, and I guess the ticket prices are kind of showing that as well.
They're reflecting that, and I think a lot of people are thinking about, you know, the next round. And you're thinking, you know, if Penn State goes the next round, and then you got, you know, a couple more games to go to, and you got airfare and hotel and all that to spend. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, SMU is one of those teams that they've got to have a chip on their shoulder. I mean, this was a team that, you know, first year in the ACC, Kevin Jennings is a fantastic quarterback. This was a guy that never had any offers. He had like two offers in college football. One of them was the Missouri State. He was the quarterback of SMU, and he committed to Missouri State. They pulled his commitment, and he ends up going to SMU. But it's a fun team to watch. Rhett Lashley's done a great job with them, and they're going to try to prove they belonged in there more than Alabama did. But Penn State is just the machine. I mean, with Drew Aller, supposedly he's going to come back even next year, a quarterback. He was the guy that we looked at. Maybe he was a first-round quarterback this year. Tyler Warren, their tight end, I feel is the best tight end in college football. I don't think he's at the level, obviously, of Brock Bowers. But when you're thinking who can be his next stud in the National Football League going forward, Tyler Warren is the guy to watch.
It does feel like SMU, if they lose, especially if they were to lose by a decent margin, you're exactly right. The conversation, certainly from those in SEC country, will be, well, see, Alabama should have been in. You know that's coming, right?
Yeah, you know what's coming. But, I mean, the bottom line is they didn't take care of business when they had an opportunity to. And that's the one thing about it. And SMU, you know, coming back at the end against Clemson that a lot of people are sleeping on that play Texas. You know, Clemson was kind of an afterthought of not getting in the playoffs, and they win the ACC title game and nobody's talking about them. Now you got Dabo Swinney, the head coach, going out here and signing people in the transfer portal. He's never done that in his history, but he's doing it like crazy now.
We're going through some of the college football playoff games this weekend, an epic weekend of both NFL and college action. Talking with Jay Binkley. All right, Clemson and Texas, this one in Austin. The biggest spread of the entire college football playoff opening weekend. Texas, 12.5-point favorites. Clemson, I think a lot of people are looking at them as someone that can maybe cover, but is Texas just going to go ahead and roll?
Man, I don't know. I mean, they have these opportunities. They made a lot of mistakes in that SEC title game. I mean, they had chances to kind of put away Georgia, and they let a backup quarterback, really with hardly any experience. He's played a few games, Gunnar Stockton at Georgia, played a few games. He let him come in there and beat him and go to overtime and beat the University of Texas. Watch out for Clemson, though. This is the head coach with two national titles. They haven't hit the transfer portal this year. There's nobody that transferred in. They're the only non-service academy. Did not have any transfer portal players. They've adopted that going forward next year. Their quarterback, Kate Klubnik, will be a guy that plays on Sunday in the NFL. Looks like there's a good chance he'll probably go back to school next year. But Clemson can be a dangerous team. And, you know, I think Texas wins this game. But Quinn Ewers, this can be an interesting game, because Quinn Ewers was a guy that a lot of people thought high on the Heisman list at the beginning of the year. He was a guy that we thought could be a first-round draft pick, and a lot of people thought he'd be a first-round draft pick, and most mocks had him as a first-round pick. And then that kind of slipped. And then he was replaced in one game against with Arch Manning. Arch Manning goes in and wasn't very good either. But for all intents and purposes, they're going to Arch Manning next year. They've made that very clear. They're going to Arch Manning to be their quarterback. Now, the question is, will Quinn Ewers, if he has a nice successful run in the college football playoffs, will that catapult him back into good graces in the National Football League into the first round? Or if he goes out and gets bombed right away, where's he going to end up transferring and become a multimillionaire? Because that's what's going to happen.
Then
he could end up Missouri. He could end up Missouri.
Yeah, that'd be something. Be a hell of a get for Missouri if they ultimately were to pull something like that off. All right, Tennessee and Ohio State, Bink. I'm almost more interested in like the subplot, which is what happens if Ohio State loses. Ryan Day's done, right? So that's what I'm fascinated with, that angle within this game.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I heard some talking heads on TV talking about this game, and they're like, "Hey, if Ryan Day wins the national title, he still deserves to be fired." I was like, if he wins the national title, they aren't going to fire Ryan Day. They're just not going to do it.
Could he leave, though? Could he just leave? I mean, that's also been thrown out there, that Ryan Day maybe decides, I don't have to deal with your guys' crap. I'm out.
He doesn't want to deal with it. You know, a lot of people are tired of it. You know, as far as Ohio State and some of the things, Kirk Herbstreit was on Twitter even the other day because his son committed to play quarterback at Michigan. And obviously, Michigan, Ohio State, big rivals. He goes, "Not one coach to Ohio State sent me a congratulations for my son." And, you know, Kirk Herbstreit is Mr. Ohio State, but, you know, he's kind of, you know, salty with the coaching staff there. It's a great fan base. It's a great program. I mean, the recruiting is insanity. Jeremiah Smith, one of the best, hands down, one of the best wide receivers. I think he could be even better than Marvin Harrison Jr. in the future. They got a lot of talent going forward. But Ryan Day, you got to be kind of tired of that. I know that at Alabama, you know, even guys like when Francione was down there as the head coach of Alabama, they talked about, you know, no matter where you went, to get a haircut, going out to eat, wherever it is, people are always wanting to talk about the program. And people come down maybe kind of harsh on Ryan Day. And do they think that going a different direction and trying to go get a Mike Vrabel, which would probably be a good idea. But Ryan Day has beaten everybody but Michigan. But you know what? That happens. You know, sometimes these guys get in a rut and lose their – Jim Harbaugh couldn't beat Ohio State in the beginning, and then all of a sudden he started beating them every year.
All right, I want to get your thoughts on the Chiefs in a second, Bink, but let me ask you, who do you have getting the semis and the national title? You know, there's all these bracket contests that are out there. Drew and I mentioned earlier, we're actually in lockstep, which I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but we have Notre Dame in Oregon, and I have Oregon beating Notre Dame in the national title game. Where are you at?
You have Notre Dame and Oregon. When did you have Notre Dame losing to – did you have them losing to Georgia or beating Georgia?
I have been in the national title game. I have, in as far as other matchups within it, doesn't really matter. I have Boise State winning their one game and then losing to, I guess it'd be Notre Dame then at that point, if I'm reading the bracket.
Yeah,
right.
I'm going to take Georgia, and I'm going to go Dan Lanning in the University of Oregon. I'm taking 1 and 2. I feel that they're the two best programs.
Even with the backup quarterback at Georgia?
I know, with Gunnar Stockton. And there's only one thing that could happen. If Gunnar Stockton's not good, because sometimes these teams rally behind their quarterback, and I know FSU's throwing a fit because, hey, their quarterback's hurting, they're in the playoffs. But Penn State, if they get by Boise State, and then, of course, they can beat Georgia. But Georgia's one of those teams, Alex. Are they the greatest team in the world? No. I mean, to be honest with you, they remind me of the Chiefs. I think there's a big parallel between the two programs, to be quite honest with you, because – you know, they didn't win the title last year, but they won two national titles the two previous years. The Chiefs have won two Super Bowls. Everybody's watching Georgia saying, well, they don't really have any superstars on offense. Mind you, the Kansas City Chiefs, they win games close. They beat Kentucky by a few points playing at Kentucky, and they're not very good this year, but on the road, barely beat them. They keep going that way. They went to an 8 overtime game against Georgia Tech at the end of the year, but Georgia won. And guess what? Because they had that ice water, it's that program, it's that culture. Then they go to overtime against Texas in the SEC title game, and then they win. But it's one of those things where they just keep winning. If your name's not Alabama, they don't lose to you. But I see a lot of parallels between the Chiefs and Georgia, because just when you want to dog them and be down on them, they just keep winning.
All right, so there's your pick for the college football playoff. Real quick, tomorrow, Chiefs, Texans. I think this is the one they have to have, considering possibly needing to go 2-1 if the Bills don't drop one. And I don't trust how Mahomes' ankle will feel after tomorrow's game, during tomorrow's game, but after tomorrow's game, going into the short week. You think the Chiefs and Texans are, is this a dangerous one, or are the Texans just a team that has shown they're pretty average?
I think they've been a big disappointment this year. I mean, as a team, I know that they're going to win the division. They're going to go to the playoffs. But I thought they would take the next step. Because usually you see these programs, you know, win, and all of a sudden they start taking the next step and becoming, you know, like the Chiefs did. You know, Mahomes, they didn't quite get the Super Bowl first year, then boom, they crashed through the door. But C.J. Stroud, he had a down year, but they do have a lot of talent on that. The defense is especially talented. D'Amico Ryans is a hell of a defensive coach. Once again, I think it's a close game. I think the Chiefs will go back to the run. Not only that, but I think it's a necessity to run the football, or they've been continuing the quick passes from Mahomes. Even though he wasn't sacked at all against Cleveland, the pressures were up. I mean, he was pressured almost all the time, and they were hitting him. I mean, it was the same philosophy people used to do against Brady and Manning. If he had an opportunity to beat him, they just keep beating him. Just, you know, right there at the whistle, hit him, just knock him down and frustrate him, get him to the point of frustration. I think the Chiefs win. Derek Stingley Jr. really concerns me at corner because he's really good, but I love the way the defense is actually making good decisions, and they look completely different the last couple of weeks and forcing those six turnovers against Cleveland. I think they really got a lot of confidence, but man, it's going to be nice to see Hollywood Brown back with this offense, because you'll get probably a glimpse of what this offense was supposed to look like going into the year before he got hurt. Now, I would love to see a Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, and DeAndre Hopkins. That would be actually, they'd have one of the better wide receiving groups if that were the case. But Hollywood Brown, very dependable guy, great against man coverage. I'm looking forward to seeing him Saturday.
Bink, great to hear from you, man. Appreciate you coming on. Enjoy. I know you will. I know you'll enjoy the college football and NFL this weekend. And I'm sure you'll be texting a few times this weekend about some of these games. Looking forward to it.
Oh, got to, fellas. And I have a Hy-Vee. They deliver beer. I
mean, it's not, oh my gosh.
So get some snacks, and I got some beer.
There you go.
Get after it, Bink.
Yeah, I did. But anyway, you guys have a Merry Christmas. And
you too.
I tell you what. I look forward to talking to football with you guys. Happy holidays.
Hey, thanks, man. Happy holidays. Bye. As well. That's Jay Binkley joining.